Discipleship begins at home, men, especially when we're raising sons. I'm Brian Patrick. As we continue to build on our theme, Becoming Disciples, Family Matters, with special father and son guests Chris and Peter Burek, this time on Crossing the Goal. It is kickoff time here on Crossing the Goal, Becoming Disciples, Family Matters. Our regular Crossing the Goal team in to serve you today, Peter Herbeck, Vice President of Renewal Ministries, the founder and president of the Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Focus, Curtis Martin, and the former All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach, and our coach extraordinaire here on Crossing the Goal, Danny Abramowitz. Team, good to see you again.
Thank you, Brian.
Jesus tells us we should go out and make disciples of all nations. And Peter, sometimes we don't have to go too far.
That's right. I mean, we're not trying to project here on the program that you got to go to the third world somewhere to do mission and evangelization. Every disciple is called to make disciples, and maybe the most important work of disciple making that ever happens in the lives of most men is right in their homes. Father, son, mother, daughter, whole family. That's the fundamental place where the gospel is first communicated.
That's a great point, Peter. We've got to recognize that in a very real sense, Catholicism is a relay race. And you can run as fast as you can and as well as you can, but if you fail to pass the baton to the next generation, we lose. So we've got to make that pass very effectively. And I'm excited about our topic today.
Wow, guys, it can't be a more important show than this. We need to start evangelizing and discipling our children at a very young age. It's imperative that we do this, but it's also imperative that the dads are walking the walk so they are a positive influence on their children.
Well, we just so happen to have a dynamic father and son team who will join our Peter Herbeck for the game plan coming up next here on Crossing the Goal.
Welcome back to Crossing the Goal. I'm Peter Herbeck. We're talking today about family matters, discipleship as it happens in the family. Every Catholic man is a disciple, and every Catholic man is called to make disciples, and it begins right in the home. And it's my great delight to be able to introduce two really good friends of mine, Chris and Peter Burek. They're from my parish, Christ the King Parish in Ann Arbor, Michigan. And for years, I've admired Chris and his wife, Emily, and the amazing work they did with their sons in raising them in the Lord. Welcome, brothers.
Thank you very much. Great to be here.
Yeah. Why don't you just tell our listeners a little bit about yourself first before
we begin. Well, I'm Chris Burek from Ann Arbor, Michigan. Have a beautiful wife, Emily, of 36 years, and who is absolutely a significant part of this guy here. And very proud of my son, Brian, his wife, Annette, and Maya, Sydney, Jackson, my grandkids, and Pete's wife, Kate, recently married just almost 2 months ago now. A partner in a wonderful marketing services company, providing services to our insurance clients, and proud to be a dad.
Very good. Thanks, Chris.
All right, and I'm Pete Burek. Like you said, I just got married, and to all you guys out there, I highly recommend it. It's very good to Caitlin Aaron. And so I'm just happy to be married, and I'm working at a small Catholic school in Ann Arbor, Spiritus Sanctus Academy. I'm the gym teacher and athletic director, so I just run around with the kids all day, pretty much.
Now, there's a lot of athletics that runs through this clan. Chris played baseball for Michigan, University of Michigan, and Pete played basketball for University of Michigan. So these guys are maize and blue through and through, you'd
Absolutely.
Say.
Absolutely, yeah, that's right.
So Chris, I know that you and Emily had a very intentional, focused way of raising your sons to become men of God. Why don't you share with us kind of your game plan?
Well, sure. I think the overriding focus that we had as a couple was that once we were blessed with kids, and really very grateful for that, our overriding principle was really we wanted to raise men of God. And in particular, in Pete's case, we wanted him to be a man of God, fully mature and capable.
What did that look like specifically?
Well, that's a good question. And believe me, that this whole thing takes a lot of grace and a lot of movement into the Holy Spirit for sure. But it means you got to really, we just focused on every aspect, you know, our family life, the extended family life, mm-hmm. The schools they went to, our parish life, their involvement, their service, mm-hmm. Just really everything, that their friends, being connected with their friends, mm-hmm. being engaged with them. So you really had to look at all aspects of that and really ask the question, is this going to really help them get where they need to be? Because ultimately, then, they have to make that decision for themselves. We just don't will that for them. They have to decide, yeah, this is what I want to be when I grow up. Yeah. You know, I want to be.
What would happen in your house on a daily basis? How would you express that?
In any number of practical ways. Certainly praying together as a family was huge.
How did you pray as a family?
Well, it would be a lot of spontaneous things. Circumstances of the day would drive us to prayer, to say, we need to pray about that. Let's pray about it. Emily and I prayed over the boys every night before mm-hmm. they went to bed for those kind of qualities and for that aspect of their life. We prayed together, certainly. But in more practical ways, we were fully engaged as a family, meaning we tried to do a lot, as much as we could, mm-hmm. together. Mm-hmm. If it was Brian's baseball game and he's 6 years older than Pete, then our family meal time, which was important to us and a central part of our life, was in the car with McDonald's going to the game. And Pete went to the game and he was the bat boy, and that was just part of family life.
Yeah. You know? Pete, what do you remember most about growing up?
A lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. You know, as a family, we really enjoyed each other's company, and we spent a lot of time doing things that were fun. And that didn't. There were still good times and bad times. But in the midst of that, the overriding thing, the thing that I'm most grateful to my parents, and they helped me with an education and they introduced me to the Lord. But the main thing is they knew Jesus, mm-hmm. and they expressed how important that was. That we knew the Lord as well.
Yeah.
And it wasn't something that they just said, they also did it. So when they would say, Pete, you need to go pray about this, I knew that they really meant it because I saw them praying about things.
Yeah.
And so over everything, I understood the importance of really getting to know our Lord mm-hmm. and living for Him.
Now, did you kind of go along with that your whole life, as far back as you can remember? Was there a time when you had to make a decision?
Yeah, sure. Well, it kind of came when I was 10 years old, really. Up until that point, I was just your normal, cheerful, you know, weird kid.
Most of the time cheerful.
And the main, what I really was passionate about was sports. You know, he was a baseball player, and so what I thought was, what I wanted to be was a baseball player when I grew up. And so in the course of playing baseball, one year when I was 10, I hurt my shoulder, and the doctor sat us down, and I'll never forget this, and he said, Pete, well, you have a condition, and you won't really be able to throw a ball without pain until maybe 18 years old. You know, and here's my little 10-year-old dream just, you know, pops. Mm-hmm. And what was amazing about that is I was crushed, but they were able to comfort me to a point. But they understood that they couldn't fully, you know, mm-hmm. help me with that. They said, Pete, you have to put your trust in the Lord, and you have to put this pain, give it to Him. And to be honest, I don't know why I did. Yeah. You know, I was 10 years old.
Yeah.
But I just decided that I trusted them. We had a relationship. I knew that they weren't going to lead me in the wrong direction. And so I did, and the Lord was really present and became real to me.
So it started pretty early, and I know you said at one point, Chris, that quantity with your kids was a big deal.
Yeah, for us, and I had the good fortune of having a dad who spent a lot of time with me.
Yeah.
And so for me, you know, really my greatest identity is being Emily's husband and being a father, and I didn't want to miss opportunities to be with them, but I made it a very specific point that after dinner every night was our time, because obviously work is demanding and it takes a lot of time, but they knew that after dinner, spring, summer, and fall, it was dad time with them, and I really believe lots of time in my experience is certainly trumps having moments of quality
time. Even though
time.
You travel in your business sometimes 15 weeks a year, and you've got a lot of demanding responsibilities. Mm-hmm. I remember, you know, seeing you guys toss the ball. You always found a reason to toss a ball around somewhere and just to spend time together. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And just before we close here, real briefly, Chris, I know that you and Emily as a team worked very hard. Just give our listeners a sense of the kind of things you would do.
Well, I think it's critical to say, and I think most every dad that have a quality family life would agree that the mom makes all the difference, mm-hmm. and her steadfast, and she is a dedicated mom, as you know. But we allocated a time every week to plan and to look at not only our week to be coordinated, but also specifically agenda items were Brian and Pete. And how are they doing? What are they doing? What are we seeing? What are we not seeing? Yeah. Some weeks we just blew right by it. Others was it took the whole conversation.
Yeah.
But we also had regular communication. Even to this day, we'll talk two or three times a day, text or phone and coordinate, make sure we're in sync. And that,
very good.
And then that living in the power of the Holy Spirit makes all the difference, you know.
Well, intentional discipleship, every one of us is called to do that, as a team, a husband and a wife, to focus on God's call and making disciples in our own home. We're going to continue that conversation in the Red Zone. Brian?
All right, thank you, Peter, Pete, and Chris. Great game plan. What do you guys think? Would they make a good addition to this team, huh?
We better get them out of here. They'll take our job.
Be a great thing.
Yeah. All right, we're all going to get together in the Red Zone next here on Crossing the Goal. Let's go, guys.
Let's go.
We've got a real gang in the Red Zone here on Crossing the Goal as we talk about becoming disciples, family matters. And Peter, you've told us about some of your good friends up there in Ann Arbor where they bleed blue.
Yeah.
Great to meet these guys.
Yeah, really they're great guys. They're great guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Thank you. Peter, I was thinking of a story when you were back in ninth grade. Now, my son Michael was in the same class as Pete, so I knew Pete pretty well. Share that story we talked about.
So we alluded to it in the game plan, but I, at the age of 10, for whatever reason, decided that I really wanted to live for the Lord. And so up until my freshman year of high school, that's how I operated, you know, and the operating the power of the Holy Spirit and really just on fire for Christ. So I came into my freshman year thinking, you know, I'm going to convert all these heathens, and they haven't seen anything yet, right? And so, about the first day of school, I'll never forget this, I opened the door to the high school, and in our high school, there's this big, long hallway, right, with all the seniors lined up. And I walked in, and by the time I got to the end of that senior hallway, I felt like I was in a movie, you know, there's just like a couple making out over here and all this different stuff going on that I'm just like, whoa, what's going on, right? By the time I get to my locker, which I couldn't open because I was a freshman, I was like, whatever faith I had, I still believed it. It's not like I changed what I believed, but I kind of just decided to put it in my back pocket for a little while because who knew what they were going to think if they knew that I was some crazy holy person, right? And so I went through most of my freshman year that way until we were at an all-school mass at Father Gabriel Richard High School, and Father Lobert was giving his homily, and me and a bunch of my friends were in a row, and all of us knew the Lord. We had all had many similar experiences, and but we had kind of all fallen away a little bit, and I wasn't paying attention because that's just kind of where I was at. And then out of the blue, Father Lobert just stops and he goes, okay, all of you who have ever experienced God, please stand up. Simple question, you know, just stand up. And there I am. I've had many, many years of experience the Lord and His love through my family and all sorts of things. And I couldn't stand up. I couldn't do it. I was rooted to the pew. And here I am with my friends, and we couldn't stand up. And Father, we're in a Catholic high school, and he gets a little concerned. So he says, because there's some people standing up, but not very many. He goes, okay, well, how many of you have ever seen a smile, right? And thought, oh, God maybe gave him that smile. Please stand up. And again, couldn't stand up. Not one of us could stand up. And now Father's really getting concerned. So he goes, now he's making it even easier. And he's like, okay, well, how many of you just even think this God thing might be real? Please stand up. And so now more people are standing up. And for the third time, I couldn't stand up. And
your name's Peter, by the way.
Yeah, right? That's right. Yeah. And there was one person.
And then the rooster crowed, right?
Right. One very important person who was standing up, and that was my mom, because she came to all the all-school masses. And she's in the back of the church looking at me going, Pete, stand up. You know, stand up, stand up. And so the rest of that day was just horrible because I'd realized I had really denied the Lord in a very profound way. And all I had to do was just, you know, get on my feet. And I remember coming home that day, and all you sons and daughters out there know that when your mom or dad are angry, it's one thing. But when they're disappointed, it's a whole other thing. Yeah. Yeah. But when they're angry and disappointed, it's like the worst combination. So when I came into the house and I found my mom crying on the couch, I haven't felt that low ever again. And we kind of had this, we had this come to Jesus meeting is what we called it. Yeah. And we had to decide, like, Pete, are you going to live for what you believe or you're not? And it was a really pretty dramatic moment.
What did you decide?
I decided to live for the Lord.
Go, Pete.
Chris, I know we were talking about how you know, relationships are not always easy. It's not always easy. You know, it's not like Pete, you know, saluted you every time you said something. It's not, you didn't always do the right thing. You talked about how to strengthen and repair relationship in the family.
Well, I think that's good. And I think one thing that's very important for anybody watching, and certainly Peter knows this well, is this isn't the father knows best situation here for those who even remember that show. But and it wasn't a perfect family environment by any means. And Emily and I could be short with one another, but we could have our situation, certainly with the kids. And one principle that we live by and put into practice all the time was just a practice of asking for forgiveness and trying to repair our relationship, where even if it were just slightly dinged. And it might play out simply like, I could say, Pete, yesterday when I got home and you hadn't cut the grass and we had agreed you were going to cut the grass, and I really let into you in a way that was really not appropriate given what the situation was. I had a lot on my mind, and I just want you to know I'm sorry for doing that, and I'd ask you to forgive me for acting inappropriately there. And your response had to be,
I forgive you.
Right. So it had to be, the whole routine was, I have to say I'm sorry, I have to ask you to forgive me, that, and then, but then you have to, you can't just say I don't forget it. You would express right. that, even if you were still hurt at the time. But what we found was that that just paved the way for the whole thing to be healed. And then part of the rule also was, now you really do leave it. It's not like you bring it up an hour later and say, remember, you didn't cut the grass yesterday, so now, you know, you really had to move on from that. And I think that was a very important part of our relating.
All right, Dad, in order for you to lead, you had to walk the walk. Mm-hmm. Tell me how you came to walk the walk so you could lead.
Well, all of us have some really great conversion stories. I think I had a good upbringing in that sense. Campus Crusade had a big part in my life in college, and the biggest impact on my life though was Emily Burak, Emily Neiman at the time, her strong faith, and then our growing in the Lord together. We had the opportunity to make that commitment as a young married couple and grow from there. And then really having fellowship community in Ann Arbor. We were part of a community there, fully availing ourselves of the power of the Holy Spirit. Because the reality is I just don't think any of us are wise enough or smart enough to really know how to take care of even a kid who's got a good nature, let alone one that's a problem. And you need the grace, you know, that
I've said many times, just I'm so grateful for all the friends, all the other brothers and other families. It really does take a village. It really takes families supporting and helping families standing behind what you believe in. And you could count on, you knew how I was raising my family. And so Pete was going to get the same thing at my house as Mike got at your house. And it really helps in a parish when families are really serious about it. And they're living it out as disciples. You know, when our kids fall, we make mistakes. But if they see that continuity through it, it really does help. It brings kind of credibility to what we're doing.
Those are two great points, you know, to recognize, first of all, that support of the community. Very few people have that. I'd like to ask maybe a question on how to do that. The second one, before I get into that question though, is just also acknowledge what a blessing it is to see that a huge part of this is learning how to recover when we stumble, because it's not as though we do this without stumbling. It's recovery. But talk to me just a little bit about what it was like to have a supportive community, or maybe even how to begin building that, because so many families feel alone in their neighborhoods.
Maybe you could comment on that from the community you built with your friends.
Yeah, well, a lot of it was just kind of doing it. You know, like we realized that we needed support. But a lot of us, especially with men, we were kind of shy to bring it up. You know, we'd get together all the time on Friday night and watch a movie, and we all knew the Lord, but we never would mention Him, right? Yeah. And so that finally it just struck us as it's just weird that we wouldn't bring up the most important part of our lives with each other. We could talk sports for hours, but we couldn't even mention the name of Jesus. And so it was kind of just making this, to get past the embarrassment, to get past the awkwardness, and just say, you know, this is really important to us, and we do need help. So let's actually start supporting each other. And just kind of getting out there, and then as we built our little group, more people wanted to be a part of it, you know, because they saw something that they really liked. And then being welcoming to them and loving to them, and then just, you know, preaching the gospel.
You know, Pete, that's such a great point. That's one of the things we see on campus with Focus, is the first step, inviting Jesus Christ into our hearts.
Right.
But after that, you have to invite Him into our conversations. He has to be part of that. And when we skip that, when our faith is merely private, it's really broken. It's a very private, personal issue, but it also has to be a public, relational aspect. Yeah. So thanks for that witness. That's
and
great.
Then another community aspect, you guys got involved in mission, like the camp that you guys did every year. Why don't you share a little bit about that?
Yeah, so there's a boys' camp in Michigan. It's called Pine Hills Camp, and I'm actually the director now of it. But I was a camper for many years, and it's a place where boys can be boys while getting to know Jesus. It's all about Jesus is really what the camp's about. But then we do fun things like commando drills and other such things that we don't have time to talk about.
Yeah.
But it was just a great community of men that we could learn how to be men, as well as really just getting to know the Lord.
Well, how exciting that now that you're married and preparing to raise children that you can pass that baton on, as Curtis said. Thank you so much for joining us here in the Red Zone on Crossing the Goal. Chris and Peter Burak, we appreciate it.
Thank you.
The team will be in the end zone next, where we'll take a look at the last word. We'll hear what they have to say about becoming disciples. Family matters. That's next on Crossing the Goal.
Hey,
hey,
buddy.
Nice.
It's
an
honor to be here.
It's really an honor to meet you.
Thank you.
Well done, Chris.
Well done.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to be praying for you guys even more now.
That was good. We did well.
We have crossed the goal into the end zone here on Crossing the Goal as we continue our theme on becoming disciples, looking at family matters. Let's get the last word from our Crossing the Goal team members, starting with Peter.
Thanks, Brian. Friends, I just want you to think about one thing. You are called to disciple your own children, but you are not alone, because Jesus really is the master who's discipling us all, and the Holy Spirit wants to help you and will help you. So accept the call. Open your heart to the Lord, seek Him every day, and He'll help you in the most difficult situations.
That was powerful. I just want to give thanks to God for Chris and Pete's example. And I was humbled as I sat here today and watched two men of God. And I just want to make a pledge to my family, Michael, Ann, and Brock, and Thomas, Augusta, Mariana, Philip, and Joshua, John, and Joe. I'm going to try and strive in Christ to be a better father and a husband to you. So thank you.
Beautiful, man.
Yeah.
Thank you very much. Men. Listen to me. When you come home from work, or you come home at all, are you physically present to your children? Or is your mind somewhere else wandering back to work or wherever? See, our kids will see right through that. When you're home, men, you're home. Forget about work. Forget about other stuff. Be there for their children. You understand? All righty.
We understand, Coach. Thanks. Curtis, Peter, we thank you. Chris and Peter Burak, we appreciate them being with us. Next time, we're going to get into some young disciples. We've got a young focused missionary, Dominic Pellucci, is going to be joining us on a topic that we'll call Young Guns. That's next time here on Crossing the Goal. Be with us then.
So with the young guys, I might have to wear my hat like this.
Yeah. Do the rap.
See, we got all kinds of things going on.
The former students will hip hop.
Yeah, right.
Those Polacks from Steubenville created hip hop.
You don't know that.